A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's asking about CRXNG and self-hostable search APIs, and he zeroes in on something that's actually pretty sharp. The obvious question everyone asks is how these things possibly work without Google-scale infrastructure. But the real question he's asking is subtler. When an AI agent sends the query instead of a human, does the retrieval itself change? Is there a meaningful difference in what comes back?
The answer is yes, but not for the reasons most people assume. Also, quick note, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today, so if anything sounds unusually coherent, that's probably why.
I'll take that as a compliment directed somewhere else. So let's start with the infrastructure question, because it's the one that trips everyone up. People hear self-hosted search API, and they picture someone's home server crawling the entire web. That's not what's happening.
Right. And this is the core architectural insight that makes the whole thing possible. CRXNG is not a crawler. It does not build or maintain its own web index. What it actually does is act as a metasearch engine. It forwards your query to more than 70 upstream providers, including Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, Brave, and a bunch of others, fetches their responses, strips out all the tracking and identifying information, then scores, ranks, deduplicates, and returns the aggregated results. You're piggybacking on existing indexes rather than building your own.
Which is either brilliant or parasitic, depending on which side of the ad revenue equation you're sitting on.
I'd say it's a privacy layer, but fair. The point is, indexing the internet at scale genuinely is a massive undertaking. Google spent decades and billions of dollars building that infrastructure. CRXNG sidesteps the entire problem by never touching an index. It's a query router with a really good result processor.
Walk me through what actually happens when I type something into a CRXNG instance and hit enter. What's the pipeline?
First, the instance receives your query. It's a standard HTTP, GETP, GETP, or POST to the root or the search endpoint. Second, it translates your query and dispatches it to whichever upstream engines you've selected, using adapter modules. There's one adapter per engine, stored in the engine's directory of the codebase. Third, it fetches the raw results using the HTTPX library and parses them with LXML. Fourth, it anonymizes everything. Strips your IP, strips tracking parameters, scrubs the request so the upstream engines can't fingerprint you. Fifth, it scores, ranks, deduplicates, and formats the output as HTML, JSON, CSV, or RSS.
The adapters are doing the heavy lifting of translating between CRXNG's internal query format and whatever each engine expects. That's a maintenance nightmare, isn't it? Every time Google tweaks their results page markup, someone has to update the parser.
It is a constant cat and mouse game, and that's actually one of the major operational challenges of running a metasearch engine. The adapters break, the community patches them, upstream changes break them again. But the architecture isolates the problem. Each engine has its own module, so when Google changes something, you update one file, and the other 70-plus engines keep working.
The scoring. How does it decide which results to show first when it's aggregating from dozens of different sources?
This is where it gets interesting. The ranking algorithm is a weighted position sum. The score for each result is calculated as the sum of occurrences times weight divided by position, for each position that result appears in. Occurrences is simply how many engines return that same URL. Weight is a per-engine multiplier you can configure. So you could give Google results more weight than Bing results, or vice versa, or keep everything at the default of 1.0. And position is just where it ranked in each engine's results.
If a page shows up as the number one result on 5 different engines, it's going to score very high. If it shows up as the number 20 result on one engine, it barely registers.
The formula favors results that rank highly across many engines, which is a pretty good proxy for relevance and reliability. It's essentially a consensus mechanism. If Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, and Brave all agree that this is the best result, CRXNG trusts that consensus.
Which is clever until you think about filter bubbles and the fact that most search engines are optimizing for similar things. You might just be amplifying the same biases across the board.
That's a valid critique, and it's one of the reasons some people prefer to weight engines differently or even use CRXNG exclusively with non-mainstream engines. But for most use cases, the consensus approach works remarkably well, and the JSON API response structure is refreshingly clean. When you append format equals JSON to the query, you get back an object with the query string, the number of results, an array of result objects, each containing the URL, title, content snippet, published date, which engines returned it, the score, and a category. You also get answers, suggestions, corrections, info boxes, and a list of unresponsive engines.
It's structured, possible, and machine-readable by design. Which brings us to the second half of Daniel's question. Is there a meaningful difference in how the retrieval is returned when the query comes from an AI agent versus a human user?
Let me separate this into two layers because I think that's where the interesting analysis lives. At the API level, the response is identical. CRXNG doesn't know or care whether the HTTP request came from a browser, a Python script, or an AI agent. If you hit the same endpoint with the same parameters, you get the same JSON back. The difference isn't in what the API returns, it's in what happens before and after the query.
That's the key distinction. The retrieval mechanism itself is agnostic to the consumer, but the query formulation, the consumption pattern, and the downstream processing are radically different.
The numbers here are striking. Human Google searches average 3 to 5 words. They're getting longer and more conversational, but they're still fundamentally short keyword queries. AI agents, by contrast, generate 20-plus word-structured prompts with chain reasoning and tool calls embedded in them. The query itself is a different species.
The agent isn't just searching for best coffee grinder. It's constructing something like identify the top-rated Burr coffee grinders under $200 from specialty coffee review sites, exclude Amazon affiliate listicles, prioritize sources that publish particle distribution analysis. That's a fundamentally different interaction with the search engine.
That changes the retrieval in practice, even though the API is returning the same structure. A more specific, better constructed query is going to surface more relevant results from the upstream engines. The agent is essentially doing query engineering in a way that most humans don't bother with.
There's another dimension here that I think is even more interesting. 60% of AI-powered searches end without a click to any website. The AI consumes the snippet or the result directly and moves on. That's not a bug. That's the intended behavior for an agent that's doing research on your behalf. But it's a complete inversion of how search engines were designed to work.
Search engines were built on the implicit contract that they'd surface links, you'd click through, and the website would get traffic and ad revenue. The zero-click search breaks the contract entirely. And what's fascinating is that humans are already doing this too. 85% of people double-check AI answers via traditional search, but the AI itself often never visits a page.
We're training a generation of users to expect answers without destinations. That has massive implications for the economic model of the web, but let me pull us back to the technical question. Given that AI agents consume search results differently, does CRXNG's scoring algorithm need to change to serve them better?
I think this is an open question and an important one. The current weighted position sum algorithm was designed for human-facing results. It assumes that what matters is consensus among engines and high ranking. But if the consumer is an LLM that's going to read snippets and synthesize an answer, you might want to optimize for different signals. Maybe snippet quality, factual density, source diversity, or even the presence of structured data that the model can parse more reliably.
Or you might want to deprioritize results that are clearly designed for human click-through. The ones with emotional headlines. The ones that bury the actual information behind narrative framing. An AI agent doesn't need to be seduced into clicking.
And this connects to something I've been tracking in the Model Context Protocol ecosystem. CRXNG is increasingly being used as a backend for AI agents through MCP servers. There are now at least 4 distinct CRXNG MCP servers out there, ranging from the minimalist Rudera's implementation, which is pure search, no caching, very auditable, to the crawl. 4AI RAG MCP server, which is a full pipeline with crawling, vectorization, and retrieval. Augmented generation built in.
The ecosystem is already fragmenting around the question of how much processing should happen between the Surge API and the AI model. Do you want a simple, transparent building block, or do you want a powerful but opaque all-in-one solution?
This mirrors a broader tension in AI tooling right now. The minimalist approach gives you auditability and control. You can inspect exactly what queries were sent, what results came back, and why the model made the decision it did. The all-in-one approach gives you better results faster, but you're trusting a black box. For production use cases where liability matters, I suspect the minimalist approach wins.
I think you're right, but I also think most people will default to the all-in-one because it's easier. The privacy angle here is worth unpacking too, because it's subtly different when an AI agent is involved.
This is what I've been calling the privacy paradox of AI agents using CRXNG. CRXNG was originally designed to protect human users from tracking. You search for something, and Google never knows it was you. But when an AI agent queries CRXNG, the privacy benefit shifts. It's not about protecting the AI, which has no privacy interests or identity to protect. It's about protecting the human who owns the agent from leaking their interests, their research directions, their business intelligence to Google and Bing.
CRXNG becomes infrastructure for data sovereignty in agentic workflows. If my AI agent is researching competitors, or exploring a new market, or digging into a sensitive topic, I don't want that query history building up in Google's profile of me, or of my organization.
This is not theoretical. AI agent traffic grew 7,851% year-over-year in 2025. It's still less than 5% of total search queries, but the trajectory is unmistakable. Gartner is predicting that traditional search volume could drop 25% as users shift to generative AI assistants.
That's a staggering number. A quarter of all search traffic potentially migrating from search engines to AI agents that consume results without ever visiting a website.
The web is not built for that. The entire economic model, content creation, journalism, SEO, advertising, assumes that search results lead to page views, and page views lead to revenue. If 60% of AI searches end without a click, and AI searches are growing exponentially, we're looking at a structural collapse in referral traffic.
Which creates a perverse incentive for websites to block AI agents or degrade their experience. We're already seeing this. Some publishers are serving different content to known AI crawlers, or blocking them entirely. The arms race between content creators and content consumers is heating up.
Let me pull on a technical thread that I think connects all of this. CRXNG's current architecture is Flask-based and synchronous, using UWSGI workers. Each worker consumes about 150 megabytes of memory. For a human user typing one query at a time, that's fine. But for an AI agent that might fire dozens of rapid, parallel queries, researching multiple angles simultaneously, the synchronous overhead becomes a real bottleneck.
Because each query ties up a worker while it waits for responses from potentially dozens of upstream engines. If your agent fires 20 queries at once, you need 20 workers, and you're consuming 3 gigabytes of memory just for the search layer.
The community is actively discussing a migration to async ASGI, probably using AOTTP, specifically to address this. The I/O-bound nature of querying 70-plus upstream engines makes it a perfect candidate for async. You could handle hundreds of concurrent queries with a fraction of the resources.
This is where commercial alternatives like Tavily or the Brave Search API start to look attractive for production, AI workloads. They've already solved the async scaling problem, and they're optimized for machine consumption from the ground up. CRXNG is playing catch-up on the infrastructure side.
The trade-off is control and privacy. When you use Tavily or Brave, you're trusting their infrastructure, their logging policies, their business model. With CRXNG, you can run it on your own hardware, audit every line of code, and know exactly what's happening with your data. For some use cases, that's worth the operational overhead.
Let's talk about the alternatives for a moment, because Daniel mentioned self-hostable search APIs broadly, not just CRXNG. What else is out there?
The landscape splits into 3 categories. First, you've got the meta search engines. CRXNG is the dominant open source option, but there's also Hoogle, which is lighter weight and more opinionated. Second, you've got site-specific indexers like Elasticsearch, Mielasearch, and TypeSense. These are incredibly powerful, but they only search data you've explicitly indexed. They're not searching the web. Third, you've got the truly ambitious projects that actually try to index the internet at scale.
Those are the ones that actually require Google-scale infrastructure, which is why they're rare.
Apache Nutch, paired with Hadoop and Elasticsearch, is the classic example. It's a real web crawler and indexer, but running it at any meaningful scale requires serious hardware and engineering effort. Mumble is a newer community-driven project that's more practical. As of mid-2025, they'd indexed about 500 million URLs using term hash-based retrieval and compressed inverted indexes. They're aiming for billions.
500 million URLs sounds impressive until you realize Google has indexed hundreds of billions. It's not even in the same order of magnitude.
That gap is exactly why Metasearch is the pragmatic choice for most self-hosted use cases. You're never going to out-index Google on a home server or even on a modest cluster. But you can out-aggregate them, and you can do it with privacy guarantees that Google will never offer.
There's another angle on the AI agent question that I want to explore. You mentioned the query structure difference. Agents use longer, more structured prompts. But there's also a difference in how agents interact with the API at the HTTP level.
AI agents complete form fills and page navigation in fractions of a second, with unnaturally smooth mouse movements and non-standard user agent strings. They're detectable as automated traffic unless they deliberately try to mimic human behavior. And that detectability matters because many search engines, including Google, actively try to block automated queries.
Which is why CRXNG's anonymization layer is so valuable for agent use cases. The upstream engines see the query coming from CRXNG, not from the agent. As long as CRXNG itself isn't rate limited or blocked, the agent can operate freely behind it.
This creates an interesting dynamic where CRXNG instances become strategic infrastructure for AI agent operators. If you're running a fleet of agents that need web search capability, a self-hosted CRXNG instance gives you a reliable, private, and configurable search backend that isn't subject to the API pricing and rate limits of commercial alternatives.
Though you're still dependent on the upstream engines not blocking CRXNG, if Google decides to crack down on meta search engines, the whole model falls apart.
That's the existential risk, and it's not hypothetical. Google has periodically tightened access, and the CRXNG community has had to adapt, rotating IP addresses, adjusting request patterns, updating parsers. It's a constant arms race. But the fact that CRXNG has survived and thrived for years suggests that completely blocking metasearch is harder than it looks, especially when the queries are well distributed across many instances.
Let me pose a question that I think gets to the heart of what Daniel is asking. If you're building an AI agent that needs web search capability, and you're choosing between CRXNG and a commercial API like Brave or Tafali, what's the actual decision framework?
I'd break it down into four dimensions. First, privacy and data sovereignty. If you care about your query history not being logged and monetized, CRXNG wins. Second, result quality. Commercial APIs often have cleaner, more structured responses because they're designed for machine consumption. CRXNG's JSON is good, but it's a layer on top of HTML scraping, which means occasional parsing failures. Third, operational complexity. CRXNG requires you to run and maintain a service. Commercial APIs are just an API key. Fourth, cost. CRXNG is free software, but you're paying for the server it runs on. Commercial APIs charge per query.
The fifth dimension that nobody talks about until it bites them, legal in terms of service exposure. When you use the Google API directly, you're bound by their terms, which almost certainly prohibit scraping or automated querying at scale. CRXNG sits in a gray area. You're not directly violating Google's terms because you're not the one making the queries.
Though that's a legal distinction that hasn't been fully tested. I wouldn't want to be the test case.
So where does this leave us? For most people, building AI agents CRXNG or something like it is the practical choice if you care about privacy and control. Commercial APIs are the practical choice if you care about reliability and don't want to manage infrastructure. And truly self-hosted web indexing remains a niche pursuit for people with unusual resources or unusual threat models.
I think that's a fair summary. But I want to add one more layer that connects back to something I mentioned earlier, the MCP ecosystem fragmentation. The fact that there are four different MCP servers for CRXNG tells you that this is an unsolved design problem. We don't yet know the right abstraction layer between search APIs and AI agents.
Is the right model a thin wrapper that just translates MCP calls to HTTP requests? Or is it a thick middleware that handles caching, result processing, content extraction, and vectorization? The answer probably depends on the use case, but the fragmentation suggests the community hasn't converged yet.
That fragmentation is healthy, honestly. It means people are experimenting. The thin wrapper approach, like the routerless server, gives you maximum transparency. You can see exactly what CRXNG returned, and you can debug why your agent made a particular decision. The thick approach, like Crawl4, AI RAG, gives you better results faster, but you lose that audit trail.
For what it's worth, I'm in the thin wrapper camp. I'd rather have visibility into failures than optimized results with no way to understand edge cases.
I lean that way too, especially for anything production-facing. But I understand the appeal of the thick approach for prototyping and personal use. The question is whether the thick approach becomes a crutch that prevents people from understanding their own systems.
That's a broader AI problem, not specific to search, but it's real. Okay, let me try to synthesize what we've covered, because we've ranged pretty widely. CRXNG works by aggregating results from existing search engines, not by building its own index. The retrieval mechanism itself is identical whether the query comes from a human or an AI agent, same API, same response structure. But the query formulation, the consumption pattern, and the downstream processing are fundamentally different. AI agents write longer, more structured queries. They often consume results without clicking through to websites, and they fire queries at volumes and speeds that stress synchronous architectures.
That last point, the architectural stress, is going to drive a lot of the evolution in this space over the next few years. Async backends, better caching, smarter rate limiting. The tools that serve AI agents well are going to look different from the tools that served human search well.
Which is a good place to pivot to the practical question. If someone listening wants to set this up, what should they actually do?
The simplest path is to deploy CRXNG via Docker. The official image is well maintained, and you can have an instance running in about 10 minutes. The key configuration decisions are which engines to enable. I'd recommend starting with Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, and Brave, then adjusting based on your needs, and whether to enable the JSON API, which is off by default and needs to be explicitly enabled in settings.yaml.
If you're setting this up specifically as a backend for AI agents, you'll want to enable the JSON API and probably bump up the rate limiting defaults, because agents will hit your instance harder than human users would.
The default rate limits are calibrated for human browsing behavior. An AI agent doing research can easily exceed them. You'll also want to think about caching. If your agent is going to query similar things repeatedly, adding a caching layer in front of CRXNG can dramatically reduce load on the upstream engines and speed up responses.
If you don't want to self-host, there are public CRXNG instances out there. But you're trusting the operator of that instance with your query data, which kind of defeats the privacy purpose.
It does, but it's still better than querying Google directly in some threat models, because Google is building a persistent profile linked to your identity, while a random CRXNG operator probably isn't. Though you should assume they could be logging your queries.
The threat model question is actually a good way to frame the whole decision. What are you actually trying to protect against? If it's Google's profiling and ad targeting, any CRXNG instance helps. If it's nation-state surveillance, you need to self-host and you need to trust your hosting provider. If it's your own ISP or local network adversary, you need to add transport encryption and possibly route through a VPN or Tor.
If you're an AI agent operator, the threat model often includes competitors trying to infer your research directions from your search patterns. That's a business intelligence leak that most people aren't thinking about yet, but it's going to become a real concern as agent usage grows.
All right, before we wrap, I believe I'm on fun fact duty today.
Go for it.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact. The Portuguese man-o-war is not a single organism, but a colonial organism made up of specialized individual animals called zooids, each performing a function, feeding, reproduction, defense, that it cannot survive without. It is not a jellyfish, despite looking exactly like one.
For listeners who want to actually do something with this, here's what I'd suggest. First, if you're curious about self-hosted search, spin up a CRXNG Docker instance and just use it as your daily search engine for a week. You'll learn a lot about what you value in search results. Second, if you're building AI agents, think hard about the thin versus thick middleware question before you commit to a particular MCP server or integration pattern. The choice you make early will shape your debugging experience for months.
Third, pay attention to the zero-click search trend, even if you're not building anything. The shift from search engines sending traffic to websites to search engines being the destination is going to reshape the internet in ways that affect everyone who publishes anything online.
The open question I keep coming back to is whether CRXNG's consensus-based ranking algorithm is actually the right approach for AI consumption. If the consumer is a language model reading snippets, maybe we should be optimizing for different signals entirely: factual density, source diversity, absence of SEO manipulation. But nobody's really solved that yet, and the people who do solve it are going to build something very valuable.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flemingtop, and thanks to Daniel for the question. If you want more episodes like this one, you can find us at myweirdprompts.com or on Spotify.
See you next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long-eared host. Until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.